Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Is your child a bedwetter? Up to a certain age, I think it's considered normal. And then maybe 5, 6, 7, up even into 8 and 9. Is this really normal? Is it common? What do you do about it? My guest is Dr. David Hill. He's vice president of Cape Fear Pediatrics in Wilmington, North Carolina. Welcome to the show, Dr. Hill. Bedwetting. I was myself a bedwetter. And until I was 13 and they realized it was a medical issue, I got help at Children's Memorial Hospital in Chicago and never had the problem again. It's shameful. It's embarrassing. I don't even know how my parents dealt with it. What is a parent to do? How do they help their children?
Wow. Well, first of all, probably, you know, take a big breath. Because, you know, we draw sort of a line in the sand and say, okay, you know what? If you're still bedwetting at 6, we'll start to address it. Below 6, it's just considered completely run-of-the-mill normal. And a lot of pediatricians are like, great, come back when you're 6 and we'll talk. But even among 6-year-olds, it's still a very common thing. It's not like something magical happens and 100% of the population stops wetting the bed when they're 6. About 10% of 7-year-olds wet the bed. And the number is generally, most people say, 15% a year. Get better after that. So for most kids, it may not be exactly what you'd call normal, but it's also not uncommon and not a sign of a real significant medical problem. Now, there are some times when you do want to be worried about a real medical problem. First of all, a child who was previously doing great for about 6 months, they potty trained through the day and through the night and didn't have a problem, and all of a sudden the bedwetting comes back when it hadn't been there before, you want to evaluate that kid. Any children who are having pain or burning when they pee or who are jumping up to potty all the time all of a sudden, certainly if you see blood in the urine, that's always concerning. Daytime wetting is relatively unusual, especially in kids who've been successfully potty trained. So that always kind of makes you want to know what's going on. If they're also having a new problem with bowel control, that gets your attention. And then gait disturbances, say bedwetting happens, and then they also develop a limp or difficulty walking or leg weakness, or they're just always damp. They're just dribbling all the time. Those things all would make you want to call your kid's doctor and say, hey, what's going on with this? This seems a little unusual.
Okay, so you call your kid's doctor, and, you know, I remember being put on medication was like the first. My parents used to have to wake me up every night to go to the bathroom. I can't even imagine wanting to wake my child and get her to go to the bathroom and then having her go back to sleep. You know, I mean, once your kids are asleep, it's like, yoo-hoo! But they woke me every single night, and then they put me on Tofranil and different medications. When does it come down to that?
Sure. Well, there's some things you can do behaviorally for kind of run-of-the-mill nighttime bedwetting that you want to start off with. The most important thing is not to punish or blame the child. There is no child out there who thinks, you know what I'm going to do tonight? I think I'm going to pee in my bed. This is not an intentional thing, right? You know? And so does it make any sense at all to punish the child? It can be a frustrating thing, but it's not like, well, if you just try harder, you know, they don't want to wake up in a wet bed either. So first of all, no blame, no punishment. Second of all, be sensitive to their feelings. Say, I know you're feeling bad about this too. We're going to work on this together. We're going to get on the same side of the problem. Bed cover is a good thing. Let the child help out with cleaning up. That teaches some responsibility. You might try and keep them from drinking a lot of fluid before bedtime. Maybe say 7 or 8. You know, we're going to stop the drinking. You can help them get up in the middle of the night and remember to pee. That's a hassle, but it may not be as big a hassle as, you know, getting up and changing a wet bed. And if you do that, those things for, you know, a few months, then the next thing would be to try a bedwetting alarm. We have these wonderful devices that sense moisture, and then they wake up the child, usually through a noise or a vibration, and sort of teach the child's brain to respond to the sensation of a full bladder and the need to pee, because a lot of this is just the bladder and the brain aren't necessarily talking to each other very well. One other thing that you want to think about with this always is whether the child is constipated. Once kids start to go to the potty on their own, you talked about being happy they sleep through the night. I'm happy they potty on their own, right? You're like, yeah, you can go to the potty, you don't need my help. But a lot of kids don't know that they're constipated and don't tell you. And frequently, when a child presents with bedwetting, especially if it's new onset, we do an exam or history or even an x-ray sometimes and find out, oh my gosh, you're constipated. And when you fix the poop problem, the pee problem gets better on its own.
Okay, so this can follow along, and you do these behavior things first, and as you say, you do not punish, you do not blame, you know, you give support. And then how do you help them with the feelings of not wanting to go sleep over at someone's house while you're working on these issues, Dr. Hill?
Sure.
And you're working on all the behavior. What about the going to sleep, the embarrassment?
Absolutely. That's probably the place where the medicines are the handiest. We're, a lot of folks are kind of moving away from using a daily medicine, although there's still a place for it. There are a couple of different categories of medicine that we use. There's one that kind of helps your body keep water in, so you actually make less pee at night. And then other medicines like the one that you mentioned, similar to Tofranil, sort of hold your bladder closed at night. They make you less likely to pee, sort of retain more urine. And some kids do benefit from using these on a regular basis, but sometimes we'll prescribe them and say, you know, when you're at home, no big deal, do whatever you do, clean the bed, work with the bedwetting alarm. But then if you're going to go over for a sleepover, you're going to go to camp, you know what, we'll get you the medicine for that, because that's an occasion when you're going to be around other kids and you don't want to have to deal with this. And so that's one tool we use.
Okay, so the bedwetting alarm, I do like that idea, and all of the suggestions that you made as well. And then maybe using the medication, and if a child does go somewhere and wet the bed, what do you tell them to say about it?
You know, same thing, just said, gosh, this happens sometimes, can I please help you clean up? You know, that's probably the biggest thing. And, when I send my kids to other people's houses, I just want them to be polite and helpful. You know, so if they're polite and helpful like they are in all other respects, they're probably still going to get invited back.
Now, is bedwetting inherited?
Yes, absolutely. And if you talk to parents of kids who wet the bed, frequently they will have never had this conversation with each other. It doesn't usually come up on the first or even the second date. But if you ask, you know, Dad, how long did it take you, you know, to be dry at night? Frequently, you will find out that one of the parents was not dry at night until significantly later. And one of the best predictors, if you're saying, well, how long is this going to go? When can I expect this to end? Find that parent and find out when they stopped wetting the bed, because that's a great predictor of when this child is going to stop wetting the bed.
Well, I actually needed a little bit of a surgery, you know, some tissue replacement, but I do remember my son, I was worried about this, and he said, I promise I won't wet the bed. I don't want to wear pull-ups anymore. Can I wear my regular underwear? And I said, sure, buddy, and he never did, and I was so relieved because I thought there might be some inherent, you know, something that would just go on. Now, in the last minute, please give us your very best advice, Dr. Hill, for parents whose children are wetting the bed past 2, 3, 4 years old.
Yeah, well, if they're wetting the bed after age 5, talk to the doctor, see what the child's doctor can do to help you out. If the child starts wetting the bed all of a sudden and hadn't been before for a period of 6 months, definitely get that checked out. And as always, trust your instinct. If you think there's something wrong with your kid, go ask somebody about it.
Absolutely, and your pediatrician is certainly the best place to start. And, of course, you're getting great information right here on Healthy Children, where our expert guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics in association and conjunction with their consumer website, healthychildren.org. If you missed any of the great information we gave, you can listen anytime, on demand or on the go, at radiomd.com. And be sure and like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter @YourRadioMD. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening, and stay well.